The following program is produced and furnished by Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today we're going to be talking to Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer, Connected Care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. Evans, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks. So, Dr. Evans, you have been in the VA now for how long?
I've been working in the VA for 17 years.
And you were a physician, and you're still a physician, but you are a practicing physician in one of the medical centers, and then you took on Connected Care and tele-ICU and telemedicine within VHA.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I still see patients over at the Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center, so I think it's important to sort of stay connected to what the VA or the Veterans Health Administration is really about, delivering health care, but also work with our mobile portfolio, our patient health portal, our telehealth program, what we call connected care, how we use technology to connect with patients when they're not with us face-to-face in the clinic.
And what is the VA doing in telehealth to support veterans care today?
Telehealth, sometimes I think folks wonder what that term really means.
Yeah, let's give them a definition or how it should be perceived.
Well, at the simplest level, it just means health at a distance, right? The telephone, you can hear things at a distance. Telephone, telehealth is just delivering health at a distance. So it's allowing, in our case, in the VA, veterans, our patients, to connect with their healthcare teams using technology when they're not face-to-face.
And do we find that patients today, especially the older generations, are receptive to this type of care?
Yeah, I think the short answer to that is yes, but What telehealth lets us do within the VA is it lets us it helps us with access, getting patients access to healthcare. Sometimes in some communities, the specialists that you need may not be in the community that the veteran is in at their local clinic, and telehealth lets us connect that patient by video through a video visit with the provider wherever they are. But it also helps us improve the quality of healthcare by connecting patients with the provider, the physician or healthcare provider who's best suited to serve them. So, I think most of the time patients are very enthusiastic about using telehealth because it's what helps them connect with the person who can help them with their health challenge that they're coming into the clinic for.
Oh, that's great. And technology advances have to be helping make this easier.
Absolutely.
But with advances, there also becomes greater risk, right? Mm-hmm. Where things are no longer in our direct control. They're no longer sitting inside the VA network. They're now outside the VA network. So as a physician, do security of these technologies concern you at all?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's a pretty simple question, particularly on this show. Yeah. in reality, yes, absolutely. The security of information and our communication is absolutely critical. Something we think about. We're in the business of delivering healthcare. Priority number one is delivering healthcare.
Agreed.
And making sure that we're providing access to healthcare. When technology lets us do that in a way that is better for patients and better for the healthcare teams, then there's an imperative that we do that. But there is a simultaneous imperative that when we do it thoughtfully, and that we make sure that we are building a system that is secure and that protects the data and the information of the veterans that we care for.
Outstanding. Now, you've also been heavily involved in app development. And I want to say that this generation that is coming up of veterans is been born with apps in their hands almost. But in the government, we added another twist to it, right? We have the ATO process, authority to operate, mm-hmm. Which I know is somewhat painful for the users, and no matter what agency you're part of. What has been your experience with the ATO process?
No, first of all, I think the ATO process is rigorous and can get, it involves work. But like I had said a minute ago, right, there's the imperative we need to meet the business need delivering healthcare.
Agreed.
But we also need to protect the information. And you have to have a process to assure that you're doing the right thing. I will say that over the course of the past 4 years that I have been very involved with app development, that the ATO process has matured quite a bit.
There's a
clear path to answer the controls and to provide evidence for those controls. We have a team in place that manages that. And, I think we there's also been a push to move towards more continuous monitoring. Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's important. I think it's important that the cyber community and the business community are working together. The idea of the ATO is really just a means to enforce good quality IT development.
So when vendors, and I'm sure you get the emails all the time and say, hey, I got this great app, you have to look at this. What are some things from a user standpoint that they can do to help you through that process? If someone's listening today and they think they have a great app they want to talk to you about, what should they be doing before they even come to you to make it easier for you to adopt such a technology or a new app?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the more they understand the landscape of IT within the federal government helps, right? So the more they've done their homework on the front end is critical. For me, they're going to come to me and I'm looking at this from the clinical perspective. Okay. I'm looking at the app to say, is this something that's going to meet a need that we have from a clinical perspective in caring for patients or in running a clinic or in running our hospital system? But it's going to be important that they're also ready to engage. If we say that this app meets a business need, that they're ready to engage with our IT folks who can help work through what those cybersecurity concerns might be for the app.
I agree. No, I think that's good, and I think that's good advice. So, talking about mobile apps, what mobile app right now has had the biggest impacts on veterans that you've seen?
Gosh, that's a tough question. On our the VA's mobile app store is at mobile.va.gov/appstore, and that's where we host apps that the VA has developed for veterans to use and also for our healthcare professionals to use in the delivery of healthcare. And if I had to pick one, I'm going to actually take some liberty. I'm going to pick more than one.
Okay.
I'll say a couple. We launched over the past year what we call VA Online Scheduling. It's available both as a mobile-optimized web app that can be launched from our app store. It's also now been integrated into our patient portal, My Healthy Vet, and lets patients directly book appointments with their primary care provider. This is a great example of, why are we doing mobile health? We're doing mobile health to put tools in the hands of veterans to help them better manage their own health and their own healthcare. And, the convenience of being able to book your appointment with your provider from your mobile phone or from the portal is really critical.
Agreed.
The second one I'd highlight that we actually announced at the White House back in August is VA Video Connect. This one really, really excites me. This is an application. It's actually more than just a mobile application. It's a platform that allows patients and their VA providers to connect by video, mm-hmm. And have real-time video visits online. And since we launched, we've now had 48,700 video sessions. Wow. That a provider has stood up to meet with their patient, 25,000 that have been scheduled, served 22,000 veterans. So there's really a lot of uptake, and I think those numbers are going to only continue to grow as folks see the value of convenient video visits with their provider.
My guest today is Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer of Connected Care at the Department of Veteran Affairs. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. Acne is every teenager's fear. At that age, a simple blemish can seem more like the end of the world. But did you know that acne can actually occur throughout all of life's stages?
And it just happens in different forms for different reasons.
It starts, according to dermatologist Dr. Dawn Davis, with newborns and infants.
And then with the onset of puberty, our oil glands become stimulated by hormones. And also with the fluctuation of hormones, the cortisol from our adrenal glands rises and spikes with stress, whether that be pubertal stress or teenage stress, and then hormones fluctuate through puberty as well. And those stress releases cause oil production, which then overgrows bacteria. And if your skin is sticky and plugged, you'll get acne.
Midlife hormonal changes, especially in women, can lead to adult onset acne. Even seniors are not immune.
With sun damage and time, the skin simply doesn't slough as well, and so it can make large blackheads.
For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer, Connected Care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. So Dr. Evans, before we went on break, you were talking about this platform that you had an amazing amount of progress that was announced at the White House. Any concerns? We talked earlier about your concerns with technology and how secure it could be. That's a lot of volume, and they're doing it on their app, on the phone. Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually think this is what one of the ironic things is that VA Video Connect provides encrypted video, point-to-point video connections between a patient and their healthcare provider or whomever in the VA that they need to meet with by video. And the interesting thing to me from a cybersecurity standpoint is that that's actually more secure than the communication that would have happened otherwise.
Okay.
Right? It replaces a telephone call on the plain old telephone system, which is unencrypted, unsecure, and we now move that communication, add the value of video, the ability to connect, to actually see physical exam findings, to actually verify the identity by actually looking at the patient, make sure that, this is Sean Kelly that I can see on the other side of the video because I know who's my patient. So interestingly, this is an example where implementing a new modern technology solution actually moves our cybersecurity forward.
No, that is great. You know, in the past, when I was part of VHA, My Healthy Vet was one of your premier programs. What is My Healthy Vet? What should the audience know about it?
Sure. My Healthy Vet, it's found at myhealth.va.gov, so pretty simple, easy to remember URL, but it's VA's patient portal. This is for the Veterans Health Administration. So this is the website. It works just as well on a mobile device as it does on a PC browser, where patients can go, log in, and interact with their own health information. So some of the most significantly used features on My Healthy Vet, veterans can manage their prescriptions, mm-hmm. Order their prescription refills to come out to them in the mail, send a secure encrypted email communication, what we call secure messaging, to any one of their VA healthcare providers.
Gotcha.
And receive a response. Review their own medical records from their provider, even their images, like their x-rays that were taken on the portal. We've got more than 4 million users who've registered on the site.
Wow.
And very high utilization.
Switching gears just a little bit. The big news in the last couple weeks has been the deal, EHR deal signed with Cerner. As a physician, though, we're moving away from Vista. Vista has been almost synonymous with the VA. It's been a huge part of their identity for years. But bringing the next generation of EHR to the VA, as a physician, does that excite you about the future of medicine in the VA, or is it pretty much just going to follow down the same path that we've been going?
Well, you know what? What excites me is the opportunity to modernize and to think differently about how we deliver healthcare in a way that makes it more convenient for patients to access their healthcare, and a way that empowers our healthcare providers to better support the delivery of healthcare. You know, healthcare is a complicated enterprise.
It is.
And there is a tremendous amount of information that for me as a physician in clinic, I've been practicing for almost 20 years, you know, even now, the amount of information that I have to process, keep straight, in order to give good advice to patients, it is pretty astounding, right?
It is.
And it's frankly, it's impossible without information sources, without IT tools to support that care delivery. So what I'm excited about is having the Veterans Health Administration continue to deliver top-notch health care to the veterans that we are called to serve. The only way we're going to do that is with modern, state-of-the-art information systems. That's a big piece of it. Our moving forward with the Cerner contract is a piece of that. Our continued expansion of the telehealth program is a piece of that. Our modernizing of our infrastructure across the enterprise, it's a piece of it. What I get excited about is the whole and the direction that the organization's going.
Agreed. And that takes just a massive amount of change management to keep it all together and make sure it's coordinated. And so I know that's quite a task. And I know that your office works very close with OINT. And I think that's a huge piece of any partnership, right, is that the business side and IT is able to work together. Do you have anything else to talk about with that as that partnership works? And sometimes it doesn't. But I think most of the time it does work. What do you think the keys to that success are?
You know, a partnership between IT and the Veterans Health Administration, absolutely critical. You know, as I mentioned, technology is a part of the ecosystem. It's unavoidable, right? So IT is a piece of how any modern organization survives and does business.
I agree.
And you've got to have good relationships. I think, you know, a lot of what fosters a good relationship is being clear about what that we're trying to accomplish, right? Making sure that we're all aligned to the mission and that as we keep that in mind, right? Because sometimes it's easy to get sort of lost in the details, but to pull it up a notch and say, here's what we're trying to achieve. Our IT folks bring real significant skills to the table. Our clinicians bring significant skills. Our administrators bring significant skills. And when you put all of those folks together in a room with the mission in mind, you're going to get a better product.
My guest today is Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer, Connected Care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Soon you may be able to cut the cord from your technology and charge it while on the move. Engineers are creating ways to charge batteries wirelessly, and Shen-Hui Fan, an engineer at Stanford University, is trying to take that a step further, doing it while the device is in motion.
If you have a dynamic charging scenario where the distance of transfer keep changing, then you would need to have basically a tuning circuit running continuously in order to be able to maintain that efficiency.
Fan is working on a system that's able to automatically tune to a frequency that ensures maximum charge.
The circuit is constructed in such a way that you just know what the optimum condition is and lock onto it.
So Fenn says one day you might take that electric car on a trip and keep it charging the whole way. More at www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer, Connected Care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. Evans, before we went on break, we were talking about My Healthy Vet and patients being able to interchange with their records. But also, too, we're not talking about a Cerner or any specific EMR. Paper is becoming less of an item in the care of patients. And so with that, we talked earlier about the risk increasing as we bring technologies in. We've seen a huge increase in ransomware attacking many of our civilian providers and civilian hospitals. So we know there's value to gaining a patient's record. So does that, as a medical physician, does that concern you that, you know, now this data is more digitized, could it be more in danger?
Yeah. It's a great question, Sean. You know, believe it or not, it's interesting that, there are physicians now, when I train, when I work in the clinic with medical students and residents, they've known nothing but the era of the electronic health record. They don't remember the days of a clinic with a paper record that may or may not actually show up for the clinic visit. And, and you know, so the era of the paper record, I don't think we should look back on that and say, oh my gosh, things were much better back then.
Agreed.
And those, by the way, could walk as well.
They did. It wasn't possible. They did.
But in the era of digital medicine, do I have concerns about how we secure data? Absolutely, right? This is a risk that really, frankly, I don't care whether you're in healthcare or any other industry.
Agreed.
Thinking about how carefully we protect and secure our data, particularly as the enterprise,
Agreed.
Is essential. Now, having said that, we can sometimes overreact, and so there is a need to balance this. You know, I think a lot about the patient in my role. I think a lot about the patient's experience. One of the things that we know from a clinical perspective is that as a patient, having access to your own healthcare information, your lab results, frankly, the progress notes your physicians have written, is really important. And actually, we've seen that when patients have access to their health information and when they review their records, even when they review their patient, their provider's notes, they're often able to better comply, to better understand what the plan is about their health and better, you know, take their medications, make the changes they want to make in their lives. So access to that data is really critical. And, you know, the Office of Civil Rights at HHS has opined. They've said that, yeah, the HIPAA security role matters, but if a patient asks for their data in an unencrypted form and wants to keep it unsecured on their own personal computer, that's their right.
Agree.
And I think it's really important for us to keep that in mind, right? Yeah. It's really important for us to protect the information, but it's also important for us to make sure that the information is available to the people who need it, including, in our case, patients.
I agree with you 100%. And what I think the CISO community is going through right now, and the cyber community in general, is through a transformation. They're now sitting at the boardroom table. They're now understanding that it just can't be about compliance and security. It has to be about enablement of the business. So if we're having a conversation, I'm back at the VA and we're talking, how do I help enable you? How do I help you get a product to market to care for patients? But also, and then I also still have to worry about my stuff, which is compliance and FSMA reporting and all that.
Right.
But if we were having this conversation, give me what you would say to me, you know, and how do I help you? How do I enable your business?
Right. Well, you know, to me, number one is let's first of all, build those relationships early.
Agreed.
This is a lot about, you know, and I would argue it's not just for the information security community, it's for the business owners. People like me need to be engaging the information security community from the very outset,
okay.
Right? Because we can, if we're making early decisions together, we're going to have less challenges in trying to figure out how to resolve thorny problems later down the road, right?
Okay.
And the other thing is, I think having, you know, meaningful discussions about risk, you know, if we need to do, you know, if we're going to delay rollout of a product for 3 months because we need to mitigate a security issue, how do we, you know, helping to understand how severe is that risk? What are our alternatives? And really having those conversations together, I think makes a big difference.
A lot of communication.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. No, I appreciate it. And I definitely agree. So, what is Dr. Neil Evans passionate about? What does he do when he's not building the next app or, you know, seeing patients?
What am I passionate about? You know, I think our society is, we are in the midst of a period of really tremendous transformation in how we, frankly, our experiences working with really across, you know, how we deal with organizations, right? So the digital transformation is on, it's full out, right? People shop online. They, you know, if I can pretty much do anything I want from my phone. If I want to get some lunch after we're done with this, right? I can order it up and I can wander into a retail location across the street, right? And my food will be sitting there on the table waiting for me.
Agreed.
That level of convenience, that kind of transformation in and that customer focus that digital is allowing, mobile tools are allowing, is really, I think, you know, it has been healthcare has been dealing with it, but we're a little bit behind the curve.
Agreed.
What excites me is what will healthcare look like over the next decade?
Agreed.
As virtual care, as technology-enabled care really becomes a bigger and bigger part of how health systems help the American population live healthier lives.
I agree. You know, I always say that we're measured by the standard of Amazon. You know, that's what customers know, that level of service is there, and they're now, I'm expecting that. You know, you deal with mobile apps and connecting to bigger systems all the time. Do you think at any point we could get close to what Amazon delivers as level of service?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, there's a part of healthcare, right? I never go to the Amazon warehouse.
Great.
Right. But there is a part of healthcare that will always require face-to-face care, right? But what excites me is the idea that we can use technology to really expand the reach of healthcare. So to blend between virtual care and face-to-face care, and ultimately to enhance the relationship between patients and their healthcare teams.
All right. Anything else about Dr. Neil Evans that you want to share? You know, this is the way when people see you on the street and they want to talk about business, they can say, hey, I know I like that as well, you know. But I appreciate you coming on today. I think it is truly important. I think, you know, I've always said, and I'm a healthcare administrator by trade originally, is that doctors are our business, right? Without doctors, we really don't have a business model. And to see you so actively involved in the delivery and the design and implementation of IT tools that actually can make medical care better is amazing. My guest today has been Dr. Neil Evans, Chief Officer, Connected Care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I am Sean Kelly. Thank you for listening. You can re-listen to this show on our podcast on federalnewsradio.com. For the latest updates on cybersecurity, you can follow us on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show at federalnewsradio.com. Search Cyber Chat.
There are nearly 2 billion websites in the world,
but there's only one that matters to the federal IT community. Welcome to AskTheCIO.com, the longest-running program on federal IT, featuring Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. AskTheCIO.com. Exclusive CIO and IT decision-maker interviews, breaking news, on-demand and updated daily. Sign up at AskTheCIO.com and become an insider with full access to federal IT news, special events, and actionable intel. AskTheCIO.com.